and preparing and praying for the next session that he preaches, and he preached 3 times a day for 2 weeks every day. So in those days I heard him preach this, his testimony. He says, in the year 1926 I enrolled in the premier seminary of America in New York, called Union Theological Seminary. And there the professors, one was called Fosdick and the other was called Coffin. And there he was indoctrinated in the doctrines of devils, where the Word of God was cut up and the gospel was chopped to pieces. Born again was ridiculed, all the miracles were debunked as fables and old wives' tales. So, Dr. John Sung's faith was nearly shipwrecked, but thank God, God saved him. So he told us about these things. This was the first time that Singapore heard the doctrine of biblical separation. What did Dr. John Sung teach us?
You need not know too much Chinese, but here it is. This is Gui Tao, Gui Nao, and that one follows here. I cannot forget this, because while I was 10 years old, those words
remain here, not here, but here. That there are people who claim to be theologians, doctors of theology and divinity, preachers of the so-called gospel, were preaching doctrines of devils. So you remember this: devil head, devil brain, preaching devil doctrine. How can it be? Yes, dear friends, ever since the beginning, Genesis 3, when God said to Adam and Eve, of all the trees in the garden you can eat freely except this one. Then Satan came as the serpent and said, hey, did God say it? And there was the beginning of the attack on the Word of God, and Eve with Adam swallowed it, and the whole world plunged into the curse of disobedience to God's Word. So my friends, today we are up against this. 1935. I'm going into a bit of history. 1950. Our church began as the Bible Presbyterian Church. Many people asked us, hey, you Presbyterian? Yes. Why Bible? BP. They thought it's British Petroleum. I said, no. Bible to distinguish us from the Presbyterians who do not all believe the Bible. Oh, is that so? So we began the first ever biblically separated church in Singapore. When? 1950. Up to today is 55 years we stand. My dear friends, when you have imbibed the gospel according to the word, undiluted, unadulterated, nothing added, nothing taken away, only the word of God, until you believe this is God's word, which indeed it is. For without this word, you have no way of being saved. Without this word, you do not know where you came from, where you are going, what God has done for you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the gospel. All these things would be foreign, unknown to you. Only this word, the word of God, was subject to attack from day one, Genesis 3. Thank God in 1950, our Bible Presbyterian Church was established. And so we preached the gospel. And people laughed at us. True, yes. Those who were called evangelicals said, "Hey, who are you? Where do you come from? You're young upstarts, what do you know?" I said, "The preaching of the cross is not easy. It is a cross that you got to bear, and you pray for courage, pray for resilience, for patience, for suffering to go on." God prospered the Bible Presbyterian Church 1950, 1960, 1970. 20 years. You know, in the course of time, we were so pleased because from among our own ranks, young people gave themselves to the Lord as we appeal. Who will give his life to serve the Lord? And we had young people, our own sons, send them to America. Why? In those days, we did not have the Far Eastern Bible College yet. So we sent them overseas. Sadly, overseas was not always the right place to go, and so some fell into liberal theology and imbibed Gui Nao, Gui Tao, Gui Tao, and all this Gui Tao inside here. So they came back, and in short time, in our churches, in our seminaries, in the FEBC, these doctrines of devils began to surface. Let me give you some examples here.
In notes given to the students, this is what was said. All the creation in the flood, this very learned theologian said, there are Babylonian and Assyrian literatures, as well as a Bible, Old Testament account. Now, which is correct? Those very ancient,
right? And the idea is, well, very ancient must be very important. So the question is, who is right? How do you know? Let me ask you today. You read very old literature from Babylon, from Assyria, from India, from Egypt, plus Bible. Who is right? Can you tell me? Now let me tell you what the Bible teacher said. Old Testament account, most likely the true one. You say, "Hooray, wonderful. At least he gave credit to the Old Testament. Most likely." What do you say to that? My dear friends, exactly as Genesis 3:1 says, "Yea, hath God said." Most likely means possibly not true. Correct? Oh, my friends, when you read the Word of God, you read every word as the direct utterance of the Most High. That's why today in the Far Eastern Bible College, every year we have an oath, a swearing ceremony where we declare that we believe the Word of God to be in its entirety the utterance of the Most High. Every chapter, every verse, every line, every word, every syllable is the utterance of the Most High. Every word in the Bible is true and faithful and the Word of God. You don't say, "Oh, this Bible is good. Most likely it is true. And I think it is very wonderful." I said, that is Satan speaking. So most likely, but possibly not so true. Oh, my friends, this was taught in our church. Now let me give you another point. Of the age of the patriarchs, you read Genesis chapter 4, and see all the ages being recited. You say, can it be? Methuselah, 969. Noah, 950. How can it be? Today, the oldest man, 100 years old, you say, fantastic. 950? Impossible. So this teacher in our church says, hey, maybe it's a miscalculation. Maybe months. So, if possible, then Noah's age of 950 years is only 950 months. So when he died, he was about 80. Ah, that's more like it, huh? More like it. What do you think, dear friends? Do you think God recorded wrongly for us? The truth is stranger than fiction. So you use that reasoning. Use that reasoning and see what happens. If 65 years became 65 months, how old was Enoch when he gave birth to Methuselah? 5 years old. My friends, the absurdity of this kind of reasoning, because that person has not the faith. I ask you, dear friends, do you have the faith? Now tonight, I do not have the time to prove to you how the ages of the patriarchs were nearly 1,000 years old, which is nothing, which is nothing. You read in the papers, this man who came from England, 105 years, married 80 years. Now another one claims that his grandfather is now 140 years, a Malay man, 140. So to live long, in those days, the environment was different. They were near the beginning of the creation. So, as I said, I have no time to explain to you, but they lived in a different environment altogether, and they lived to a long age, 900, 800, 700. Another thing that was brought up by this teacher in the BP Church, Bible Presbyterian, was talking of Noah's flood. How can we believe? The whole world was flooded with water. Everything underwater. Today, you know, if all the rain from the sky were to fall down, how much would it raise the sea level? Anyone can tell me? Every bit of water vapor in the sky would have come down, it would raise the sea level by 2 inches. 2 inches. So these scientists type, they say, how can then, in Noah's day, for the water to flood all the high hills up to 22 feet covered over? Impossible. So they say, is it the whole world or only part of it? Because they doubt. Because they will not believe the record of God's word. They say, we don't know. Right? Try to evade the issue. So here we are. My dear friends, today, the world is heading for a one world system. This is recorded in the Word of God. And you do not need super intelligence to understand. This is a bit over loud now. Please. You do not need to be a Nobel Prize winner. You do not have to have an IQ of 200 to understand that the whole world is heading towards a one world system. And that one world system will unite the whole world into one. All the religions are coming together. no matter what you say. He said, we are BPs. We stand separate. I said, praise the Lord. But the days will come when we will be encouraged, if not persuaded, eventually forced to join to the one world system of religion. Do you know it's coming? In this world, the systems go by majority vote. Today, your BPs in the whole world will come to maybe, I don't know, 50,000, 100,000, maybe the whole world. Plus many other independent fundamental churches gathered together, maybe a few hundred thousand. As I said, today numbers count. What is the biggest church today in the world? Answer, the Roman Catholic Church. 1,200 million. Who are you, BPs? Who knows about BPs? Who knows about the Bible-believing churches? All of you lumped together, just a few million. Only one church. And they claim to be the succession of St. Peter's. So here we are, dear friends. Whether you like it or not, this system is going to come into pass. One world church, and that movement that is bringing this about is called the ecumenical movement. What is the ecumenical movement? The movement to bring in a one world system, oikoumene, that is the Greek for the one world. Ecumenical is the English adaptation of that word, meaning to say everything going to be joined into one world church system. And that is coming. Now let me ask you, where is your protection? You either join that system or you stay out. You stay out, you are in danger, because you'll be seen as an odd man out. Everybody's coming into the system. Why are you so stuck up, so self-conceited? Why do you think you are so special? You will stay out. And they have the trump card, the ecumenical movement. Why do I say so? They are always loving, welcoming, warm, receptive. Please join us. We love you. Why don't you join us? Now, what do you say? Biblical separation? My dear friends, the day will come, and the day will reveal it, and the day will prove it. If you are not committed, if you are not prepared to stand with the Lord on that day when he was put before Pilate, and all the Jews, his own people, says, crucify him. We don't want him. We don't know who he is. We don't want him to be alive. Are you ready to stand with the Lord Jesus? I'm not trying to frighten anyone, but I'm talking of possible realities. Biblical separation is a hard message to preach and harder to receive and to accept into your system. But I say it is the only system. Let me read to you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is it you want? Are you banking on a system that will be accepted on earth, which is called the ecumenical? With that, it's very comfortable. Everybody is going into that system today. All the evangelical churches, the liberal churches, the Anglicans, they're all flocking to Rome. All the charismatics, they all say, the Pope is the church, is the head. We all will go and join it. Everybody is on the road to Rome. Question, where are you? What are you doing? Why do you stand outside? They welcome you with loving, open arms. So this is the question. What is your answer? My answer is what I've said all along. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is my Savior, my Lord, my risen Christ. We have one trump card with us. One. What is that trump card? The Lord Jesus Christ crucified, buried, risen from the dead is your winning card, if you like to call it that way. If you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He is the coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords, ruler of all the whole wide universe. He is coming again to be Lord of all the earth. You be on His side, you be alright. Because today it does not show. Today people go by numbers. On that day, numbers on earth do not count, because when the Lord Jesus comes, He will come with all power and glory, with hundreds and millions of the heavenly hosts. Then the real power will be shown. Stand with the Lord Jesus, therefore. I want to give you a few points on biblical separation from three other teachers. Firstly is Martin Luther, right? You know who Martin Luther is? Let me read to you. Martin Luther says this: if I protest with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of Scripture, except that little point which the devil is attacking, and I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Him, I'm nothing. That point is being attacked and you say nothing about it. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. To be steady on all the battlefront merely is flight and disgrace. If at the point where it is being attacked, you flinch and you collapse and you do not defend, you're finished. You are steady in all the front except the point which is being attacked. You are finished. You are not the loyal soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Martin Luther. This book is available in the bookshop called Last Days Deception. Now another one known to you is Spurgeon. What does Spurgeon say about biblical separation? Spurgeon in the 19th century says, no lover of the gospel can conceal from himself the fact that days are evil. When? Over 110 years ago, maybe 120 years. We are willing to make a large discount from our apprehension because of natural timidity, the caution of age, and the weakness produced by pain. Here he says that because we are all so timid, and because the times are not good, and if we try to stand for the truth, there is so much opposition and the pain of it, so we do nothing. I say, dear friends, is that your attitude? But now Spurgeon says, listen to this. For him, as soon as I saw that error was become firmly established, I did not deliberate anymore. But I quitted the body at once. Since then, my counsel has been, come out from them. Do not remain inside. This is addressed to any of us here today who belong to any apostate church. What do you mean by apostate? A church that no longer preaches the true and pure word of God. A church that is compromised. A church that is going against the teaching of the word of God. That is at the apostate church. All right. Spurgeon says, as soon as I detected that that church was an apostate church, I got out. For God's word says, come out from among them. And I have felt that no protest is equal to separation. There are some people who says, I stay in, and I protest, and I fight from within. I infiltrate. I try to change the system. I say, but that is not the teaching of God's word. When you find yourself in a church that is compromised, that is preaching against the word of God, get out. God has the right direction for you. Instruction is, come out from among them, my people. Don't have any part with that kind of a church. Finally, this is by J.C. Ryle, Bishop of Liverpool, also 120 years ago. Listen to this. The greatest heresies, heresy is false teaching, contrary to the truth. The greatest heresies have crept into the church by means of ordained men. Whoa! Reverend, bishop, archbishop of the church, preacher, doctor of theology. These people who are right inside the church are the people who have brought in the greatest heresies into the church. Neither Episcopal or Presbyterian or Anglican ordination, nor any other kind of ordination confers immunity from heresy. You can ordain him 10 times and he's still a heretic. He'll still preach the false gospel. And these false teachers today are in 95% of churches today. Right. Does it startle you? Shock you? Cause you alarm? Pray. Ask the Lord to help you. He that would be saved must cultivate the spirit of a sentinel at a critical post. He must cultivate that of a sentry at a lookout post. What must the sentry do? Eyes open, ears open, and on the lookout to smell out any kind of infiltration. And that's what you ought to be. In all loyalty to the Lord who died for us, who gave us life everlasting because He rose from the dead, that He only rose from the dead, the one who is gone to prepare a place for us and coming soon to receive us unto Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He says, hold fast to the faith. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according to his work. As his work shall be, he will be rewarded. I say, dear friends, count not the cost of being reviled, ostracized, become unpopular because you stand with the Lord Jesus. Does it matter today for a short while? When he comes, all the world will submit and be subjected under the Lord Jesus Christ, and His truth will reign forever. In days like these, He must not be ashamed to suspect danger, and if anyone scoffs at Him for so doing, he may as well be critical to reply, the serpent beguiled Eve, and he is still very subtle today. The serpent has lost none of his deception. Satan has lost none of his evil power to deceive. Be careful, therefore. Now let me close with this. A reproduction of a paper from Calvary Weekly of 1988. 17 years ago. My dear readers, after 38 years, the falling away of the church has overtaken the Bible Presbyterian Church. The subtle and insidious inroads of liberalism have now come into the Bible Presbyterian Church. Dear friends, no church is immune. Simply because Satan is too smart, too subtle, too deceptive. He will come in and through some young person, someone in the church, some pastor, someone who will absorb, imbibe, and he will bring in that poison and begin to preach and to teach, and the people will believe, and there will be the infiltration of false doctrine into the church. Jude has already warned us of men crept in unawares from among yourselves. They will come in, they will rise up, and they will preach false doctrines. And this is exactly what I showed you there just now. Gui tou, gui nao, jiang gui tao. And these people come in and preach false things. And there will be some who will be deceived. There will be. For more than a decade, we in the BP Church striving our utmost to keep the church pure, to keep out these elements. But that was a losing battle because those people were inside already, our own people preaching. So this cancer of new evangelicalism and liberalism have at last come into the Bible Presbyterian Church. We invited men of faith to come and teach and persuade. We organized seminars, conferences, Bible camps to encourage our people on the separatist stand. Be separate. What happened? We called together the pastors for weekly prayer meeting. I started the prayer meeting in my house. Let's come and pray together that all of us may be united together to stand for the faith of the gospel and to fight the good fight of faith. Every week they came. Every week they prayed. Among those who prayed, there were those who were sowing the poison. In October 1987, the smoldering conflict between biblical fundamentalism and liberalism. What is liberalism? Liberalism is unbelief. Simply unbelief. It is just satanic doubt of the Word of God. And new evangelicalism fled into the open, and we in Calvary call for a return to the original BP stand. Praise the Lord. Following the stand that we took, the BP Synod of 38 years collapsed. And today we do not have a synod anymore. Every BP church is now independent. Go your way. Those who are for the faith, stand fast and uphold the truth of God. Hold fast. Hold for the word of God. We do at Calvary. Calvary Jurong, Calvary Pandan, Calvary Tengah, and Calvary Overseas. God help us. And dear friends, those who are with us, I say thank you that you too take the stand, for the day will reveal it. Today it does not seem. The day will come when the Lord returns. All will be plain. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, grant us understanding from above, even the illumination of the Holy Spirit, that we may understand what is biblical separation, which is simply to stand with the Lord, to stand on the Word of God, and to fight the good fight of faith. Bless your people, all of us here, that we may resolve from tonight to be doubly strengthened in the inner man, to stand with Thee and to stand for the truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We close with the hymn 406. 406. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helper? Other lives to bring. Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? This is a challenge.